Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, when you think of anorexia, the stereotype is often an underweight teenage girl, but eating disorders can affect a whole range of people of all different shapes and sizes. Michal Costello was restricting his eating and working out several times a day, spurred on by comments about how well he was looking and how people wished they had his motivation. Michal eventually hit rock bottom before seeking help. Now, a warning before I bring him on to listeners that we will discuss some sensitive topics, including suicide. So discretion is advised, and I will give out some helpline advice a little later. But I want to welcome Michal Costello to the programme, who was shocked to receive a diagnosis of atypical anorexia. And he joins me on the line now. Hi, Michal. How are you?
Hi, Claire. Good, thank you.
So when did you get this diagnosis?
So it was really at the beginning of October 2020, but you have a sense for a while before that something is wrong, and you kind of just, well, for me anyway, I just kept on putting it off. It was something that I was going through really for about 3 years, and then with lockdown it kind of became obvious that I did have an issue with the first lockdown mainly.
And as I mentioned in the intro there, you were a seemingly healthy, in inverted commas, man. You were running long distances. You were eating healthily, as diet culture tells us. And then you were heading on to the gym. And in fact, people were saying to you, God, you're great. I wish I had your motivation. But underneath it all, you weren't healthy. This was far too restrictive with the way you ate and the way you exercised.
Yeah. And like, it really took over my life, like, as in I wouldn't go out to eat, and if I ever did, it would be like I would get very anxious about it in my head, or I would be thinking about, okay, well, how can I almost damage control this in terms of like restricting myself before and after going out to eat. So yeah, it affected like so many of my social situations and seeing friends and things, and it just really just consumed my life, like, to be honest, as in it would disrupt jobs, it would, yeah, like it became all consuming really.
And can you pinpoint when this started?
Yeah, so basically it would have been around the time, like, we'll say in the end of 2016, start of 2017, I was I just kind of started getting a bit more into going to the gym and fitness. Like, I used to go like on and off and things, but I started to really kind of look at what I was eating and start tracking that. And then I suppose I saw that you could, when my body started to change, that I was thinking to myself, oh, this is actually having an effect. And like, the more I pay attention, the more like serious I am about going to the gym, the more regularly I go, the more in tune I am with my eating, the more obvious the changes are. And I just, then it quickly snowball. I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back now, I do. It like would have quickly snowballed from there. So like, I mean, you're really just focusing then on like minutiae of, yeah, like having a vein here, or like, you know, things like that. It can really like snowball pretty quickly for me anyway.
And it's everywhere, isn't it? Because it's such a fine line, and I don't think people realize it. Of course there is a healthy way to keep an eye on your nutrition and make sure there's plenty of fresh fruit and vegetables, and that you're
exactly
avoiding processed foods and, you know, and that side of things. And getting exercise, we know, is really important for a functioning body and for our mind also. But when it begins to consume everything, and when you're starting to divide your life into good behavior and bad behavior, and you can't even enjoy a meal, it's almost too late, and it's really hard to stop that happening and see that happening until it's too late.
Yeah, and because you get into such a routine with it, it's almost like you're giving up some form of control that you have over your life. And like especially these days, like we all know how even over the past year we've all come to realize how little control we can have over our own like day to day. So when you kind of see that you can control something, you just start to focus on that and really like hone in on it and try and like control it as much as you can. And for me, that was with my body because I saw that I could do that through food and exercise. And like you mentioned about healthy eating, even though the foods might be healthy, that you're quote unquote healthy, the practices that you're, I suppose, employing when it comes to actually eating and consuming those foods, like when you're eating them and how the quantity of it that you're eating, that's very unhealthy.
And at any point, did you think of the term anorexia?
No, I didn't really. Like it was really my parents who would have kind of mentioned it, and at the when they first started mentioning it, I was really like insulted, or yeah, like I would have reacted quite aggressively to that because, in again, like you mentioned at the beginning, in my head, anorexia was, someone who looks unhealthy, who's very frail, who doesn't have a lot of energy, and who's severely underweight. Whereas I was extremely active, like lifting weights, doing cardio, cycling long distances, running long distances, going on hikes and everything like that. So like I would be exercising from morning until night, really. And when the topic of anorexia, or whenever anorexia was applied to me, like I really kind of went against it. And even when I was diagnosed in October, it really took me months. And I think like really, March, February, March is when I really kind of would have started to accept it in myself that I have this disease.
Because it began to impact on your mental health. I think we need to start talking more about overall health because we're so focused now on weight loss and how people look. And particularly with social media, you'll see somebody who is muscular or slim, and you won't really know the full picture behind that image. As you say, when people saw you, they were like, wow, you look great and you're so fit and you do this, that, and the other. But inside, you were beginning to feel depressed. It was consuming your every thought, and you didn't even want to go on. So that just isn't healthy.
Yeah, no, like I looked a particular way physically, but yeah, and to get to that point, the amount of work that I had to do when it came to food and exercise, it was just too much. Like I couldn't live a regular happy life with it. And but I'd been doing it for so long, I was so scared to kind of let go of it as well, and I still am to a certain degree. Like it is very difficult, even though I know now how toxic and dangerous these behaviors are. They're extremely hard to let go of because when you've been going through it for like 3 or 4 years, you feel like that's all you are. It just, I suppose, like it makes you lonely. You're isolating yourself. You feel like you're trying to, anytime someone tries to meet up with you, you're like making excuses so you could be lying to your friends, and you just feel crap about yourself all the time. And yeah, it's just not worth it. And because when you do, like for example, with me, I would often say to myself, like, oh, once I get to this weight, or once I start looking like this, then I'll take it easy. But when you get to that point, it's never enough. Like you want to get to the next stage. It's just completely, yeah, it just completely warps your way of thinking about yourself and your opinion of yourself.
What was rock bottom, Michal? What happened to make you reach for help and start to make changes for the better?
The main driver would have been lockdown one, so like that March to July period, I was back at home, and I was, as I said, exercising literally from morning till night, not working, and I was just I was so depressed. I just didn't feel like that there was any future for me when it came, because of the outside world with lockdown and COVID and everything, not knowing when this will end. And then with what I was dealing with personally, food and exercise, I just knew that I couldn't wake up every morning and keep doing this, but I just didn't know what else there was to live for. I just couldn't see it. And then I just felt like a burden on my family and everything. And so it was those suicidal thoughts that made me be like, oh yeah, I need to get help. But having said that though, it wasn't I wasn't thinking to myself, oh, I have an eating disorder. I was just thinking to myself, oh, I'm depressed. I need to go get help. It's the eating disorder part came afterwards, even though now I know that that was probably one of the main is one of the main contributors to the depression.
And what help are you receiving now, Micheál? What's making a difference?
At the moment, well, I'm back working in London now, which makes a massive difference. And in a job that is where I want my career to be in. And also, I go to weekly therapy sessions with a therapist. And I see a psychiatrist sometimes. You have to go see a psychiatrist in the beginning, to get your diagnosis and things. And then I see him maybe once every 3 months. And yeah, I'm also on antidepressants, and I still I have to exercise. There is no I can't not exercise. But I go to a gym now that is mainly classes based. I always think to myself, one of the main reasons why I want to speak more about this is that all of these things for me, I wouldn't been able to do any of these things, see go to the therapist, the psychiatrist, go to this particular gym, if it wasn't for the support systems of my family and friends, and particularly my parents, because all this stuff is extreme emotional burden, but also a massive financial burden. And I just can't imagine how people who don't have those sort of support systems get by.
Yeah, and I mean it's that's shocking because eating disorder rates have skyrocketed during the pandemic, and the National Plan developments for eating disorder services in 2020 were temporarily paused by the HSE. And you're right, there are so many people who for various reasons don't have that financial and emotional support, but that's why talking about it like this, Micheál, makes such a difference. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you so much.
allowing us to talk with you about your experience of it.
Thank you.
That is Micheál Costello there, who was diagnosed with atypical anorexia. And if you've been affected by anything we discussed there, you can contact Bodywise, bodywise.ie. It's spelled WHYS.ie. And you can also call them 01 210 7906. Micheál, thank you very much again and all the best for the future.
Thank you so much, Claire.
I'd also like to give out the Samaritans helpline. It's 116 123. That's 116 123.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.